We're talking about the subject of heaven, and I want to get right to our scriptures today. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 5, the book of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look first of all in our study of heaven at the teaching of Jesus on this subject. In the Sermon on the Mount, you find that Jesus says several things about heaven, and I want to begin in Matthew chapter 5. In verses 3 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5, you find what are many times called the Beatitudes. And beginning in verse 10 with our reading, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, he's encouraging people who follow his teaching. And he says that if you follow his teaching, you're going to be persecuted. Now, the New Testament teaches that time and again. But he says in verse 12, "Remember what your reward is." One of the strongest motivations to keep us from being discouraged as Christians in this life when we're persecuted is to keep our minds on heaven, to remember where we're going. And in verse 12, Jesus said, "When you are persecuted, when people say all kinds of evil things against you because of me," he said, "do this," in verse 12, "rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus said, when you're persecuted for my sake, when you're persecuted because you're doing what's right, you need to rejoice, because you're in good company. The prophets of old were persecuted because they did what was right. And when you do what is right, you're going to be persecuted. But more than that, he said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Heaven is the reward of Christian people. And Jesus said that that reward is great. I remember years ago, an older preacher who's now passed away, talking about the word great in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we throw the word great around a lot. We talk about something being great. We talk about something being wonderful. And so when we use the word great, we're speaking from a human standpoint, and sometimes we might overuse that word. But when God uses that word, when Jesus uses the word great, you can be assured that what he's talking about is truly great, much greater than what you and I can imagine or describe, and greater, in a sense, than the word great means to us when we're talking about things that we see here on the earth. When Jesus says that heaven is a great reward, we need to believe, and we need to be confident in what Jesus has said here. So the Bible tells us then that heaven is one of those motivations. In fact, it is the strongest motivation that we have for living through the hardships of life and enduring persecution. Now then, let's turn to a few other passages in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. And I want you to notice an expression which is not new to you. We use this expression. We hear this expression quite a bit. But I want us to think about what we're saying and what we're hearing today. It's the expression that the Father is in heaven. In verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then for another example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven." When we talk about heaven, we're talking about where God is. Now, in a sense, the Bible does say that God is everywhere. We say that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere present. But there is a special sense in which God is present in heaven. And so, if we make it to heaven, the Bible shows that we'll be able to be where God is. We will be able to see God. In this lifetime, we cannot see God. We cannot experience God in the sense that we will experience God in heaven. We can't see God because God is spirit. We have physical eyes, and we see physical objects with those physical eyes. Now, in heaven, we will spiritually see and experience God. And so all of our lives, we've thought about who God is. We've thought about seeing God. We've thought about being in the experience of being in the very presence of God Himself. Not just being in the sight of God, because God sees everything that we're doing. God knows every thought in our heart. But we don't have that kind of mirror vision with God. We're not able to see God in the sense that He sees us. But in heaven, we will see God. So I just wanted to plant in our minds the fact that one of the great things about heaven is the fact that, as we commonly say and read in the Bible, God is there. The Father is in heaven. Now, the next passage that I want to point out is in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. This is a great reminder of what heaven is all about. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." That is, do not store up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, notice what Jesus says about heaven. He says heaven is a place where you don't have moth and rust to corrupt, that is, to cause things to decay. Here on this earth, we have to maintain things. You have to maintain your house. You have to maintain your vehicle. You even have to maintain your body. Because everything that we see is material. Everything that we see is in some way made of matter, the dust of the earth, in some way or another. And so because we see material things, we're dealing with things that the Bible says are corruptible. That just simply means that they decay. Over the process of time, things rot, they decay, they grow old. And so we have to restore them. We have to paint buildings. We have to paint wood or stain wood or treat wood to keep that wood from rotting. We have to do the same thing with metal. We have to treat metal because rust will cause that metal to decay. Now, what he's saying about heaven is that you don't have to worry about things decaying there. You don't have to worry about any physical object because nothing will be physical. Everything is going to be in a perfect state. So you never have to worry about something getting old in heaven. You never have to worry about your spiritual body decaying and growing old in heaven and having aches and pains and sicknesses and eventually death. That doesn't happen in heaven because you see here in this lifetime, we are material. Now we have a soul that is immaterial, but your body is material. It's made of the dust of the ground and therefore it is corruptible. In heaven, you don't have anything that is corruptible. You do not have anything that is material and anything that will decay. Now, that in itself causes us to realize and should cause us to long especially for this place called heaven. But not only that, you find that heaven is a perfectly secure place. If you're thinking about moving, if you're thinking about buying a different home, one of the first things that you think about is the neighborhood. You want to be in a safe place. You don't want to be in a dangerous neighborhood. You don't want to have bad neighbors. You don't want to live in a high crime district. Well, we try to make the best decision that we can about that. We try to find the safest place on earth that we can. But there is no place on earth that is perfectly safe because you're always going to have thieves. You're always going to have criminals. But you do not have any thieves in heaven. You do not have any stealing. You do not have any lawbreakers or criminals in heaven. Jesus said that thieves do not break through and steal in heaven. So in this life, we oftentimes want security. We want things to go well, and we protect ourselves. We protect our homes. We lock doors. We have ways of arming ourselves to protect ourselves. We may even have a security system at home, an alarm system. We do all kinds of things. We have safes. We hide things that are valuable to keep people from stealing them. Can you even begin to imagine a place where you will never have that thought? you will never have the fear of somebody stealing anything from you, because in heaven, nobody steals. It doesn't happen. That is so different. That is so foreign to the way that you and I have lived our lives, because we constantly have to be aware that there are people out there like that. And the Bible talks about these people as a common part of life. The parable of the Good Samaritan is about a man that was attacked by thieves. Paul talked about robbers and being in danger of robbers at times in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. So the danger of people stealing from us and perhaps injuring us is a part of our lives that we have to deal with. And we do have to make plans for that. We do have to give some attention to that. But in heaven, that will never be an issue. You will not have any kind of protective insurance. You don't have to have policemen in heaven. You do not have to arm yourself and protect yourself. You do not have to worry about locking a door in heaven. That is not needed, because those things will not exist there. What a different world. What a different place. And we need to remind ourselves at times that the world in which we live is not going to be the world that is called heaven in the Bible. Now, here's something else that I'd like for us to think about that is found in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And this, again, is a reminder to us that not everybody is going to heaven. In fact, not even most people will go to heaven. The Bible says in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus said most people go down the broad and wide way that leads to destruction. Now, that destruction, of course, is eternal damnation in hell. Most people are headed there. Most people will go there. That's not God's desire. That's not God's wish. God doesn't want most people to go to hell, but most people go there. Why? Because they choose that path. They choose that lifestyle. Now, on the other hand, he says that the way to heaven is a straight and narrow path. And he says that it leads to life and few find it. Few people go down this way that leads to eternal life. And eternal life is in heaven. The Bible plainly teaches here that few people will go to heaven compared to the many that will go to eternal damnation in hell. So when people fill out surveys or respond to surveys today, and this is very common, when people are asked in some kind of poll, "Do you think that you're going to heaven?" the majority of people say that they are. Well, the Bible says that that's not what's going to happen. And what's important for you and I to remember is to look at the Bible and make sure that we follow what God says about going to heaven and not what man says about going to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Heaven will surely be worth it all.